They were named a featured blog by UrbanSpoon.com, a best American food and dining blog by LocalEats.com, and are regarded as the world's premier burgiatrists. But still, to me and probably to you, they're just a bunch of enormous douchebags. Ladies and gentlemen, for better or worse, I give you the straight beef.
Well, here we are, the triumphant return of the Straight Beef Podcast. This is Michael, and joining me is Chad.
Hello.
For his first time on the podcast. And so we're going to have an interesting discussion about burgers and buns. We've talked about buns in the past, but about different kinds of buns. And we've had the conversation about patty melts.
And what constitutes a hamburger?
Exactly. So, Chad, why don't you take it from here?
It is a deep philosophical question, which probably won't be answered today. But Michael and I did go to Royale in downtown Raleigh. It's near Moore Square and City Market, on the site of the former Battistella's, which was an excellent Cajun and Creole restaurant. And they have carried on the French-ish tradition in this French bistro style. I got the one burger that is regularly on the menu. You got the Tuesday special.
Yes, they have a plat du jour.
Yes.
And every Tuesday is a burger of some kind, which changes all the time. Right. Their main burger that they have on the menu is the same.
Right. Yeah, the Royale with cheese.
Indeed.
Vincent Vega would be completely blown away. Not only by the flavor, but probably by the price. It was an excellent burger, but it was not a cheap burger.
That's right. Yeah, this is probably, I was looking back, and this, my special burger, was the most expensive burger we've had on the Straight Beef.
Including Herons?
Yes. Herons was only $16 to $17.
Okay.
My burger was
$20. Wow. Yeah.
2-0. And it didn't have a bun.
No, it did not.
Spoiler
alert.
Mine
did have a bun-ish type bread product. but yeah, mine was, I think, all told $24 with the beer.
Well, yeah, I mean, I mean, saying the burger itself.
Yeah, the burger itself was $18, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that leads us to the conundrum. You got the Garcon burger, which was the plat du jour, the Tuesday burger, which did not come with a bun, although it did have a lovely side salad.
It did. And it had, basically, it was a patty, which I'm guessing was about a 6-ounce patty.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
And what did the waiter say? It was like short rib and
brisket and probably some chuck.
You know,
yeah.
So, it had kind of fried prosciutto on it.
Yeah.
Kind of
fancy
bacon, basically.
Yeah.
And a sunny side up egg and béarnaise sauce, but it was served on a hash brown.
Yes, it was.
So it's not even open-faced. It was served on a hash brown.
It was a breakfast burger.
It was a breakfast burger. It was basically a hamburger steak.
Yeah.
On hash browns. Neither scattered nor anything.
Smothered, covered,
exactly.
Except
it was covered.
Yeah.
It was, you probably could have gotten everything, triple and everything, waffles, and coffee for the cost of this burger.
Oh, yeah. The Waffle House. Yeah, you could have had somebody killed for that kind
exactly.
of money.
And the whole point of this is I was staring at it, and it wasn't indicated from the description as he was describing it because it's the special. It's not on the menu. He's talking about it.
Right.
There's no indication that it was not going to. I thought it was basically just going to be on a bun.
Right.
Some kind of fancy brioche.
Yeah.
You know,
the usual nice restaurant stunt burger where, I mean, if you go to a good place where, I mean, you're looking at $20 entrees and, you know, $9 or $10 glasses of wine and $8 beers, you know, you're usually looking at some sort of burger that is A, either put on the kids' menu or B, we're going to, you know, justify our prices burger with like gold foil or gold leaf and caviar and foie gras.
Well, caviar was on the tater tots.
Okay, yeah. But in fact, they take their burgers seriously.
Yeah.
That was a damn fine burger.
Oh, indeed. The discussion is not going to be around, was the burger good or not?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to release this podcast with the written review.
Yeah.
You can check it out on thestraightbeef.com. But the burger was excellent.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where in trying to give it, you know, a 4.5, 4.75, can I give it something? Because the bun generally detracts.
Yeah.
If it's bad. It's usually neutral to detracts.
Yeah.
I've never had a burger where the bun elevated it. So what happens then when there is no bun?
Yeah.
Is it so neutral that you don't need it?
Right.
Or is it something that you have to have in order to call it a burger?
Okay. And yours was indeed served on a hash brown, which was interesting. To round out the lineup, I had the Royale with, again, it was about a 6-ounce patty with Gruyere cheese and an au poivre aioli, according to the menu, served on a house-made English muffin. Again, non-traditional bun at best.
Right. So you're kind of getting into the, you know, patty melt style discussion of,
right,
is a patty melt a burger,
uh-huh,
or is a patty melt a sandwich?
And this is where, just in a rare, weird moment of serendipity, I was listening to a podcast. Okay, so we're on a podcast talking about a podcast. It's getting a bit recursive and, you know, inception. But I was listening to a podcast from America's Test Kitchen, the people behind Cooks Illustrated. And the podcast was ostensibly about ketchup, but it was really, actually, let me pause for just a moment and ask you a philosophical question.
Okay.
And it's a little bit of a curveball, and I'll admit right up front, it's a trick question.
Sure.
You go to a burger place. They cook their burgers on a vertical broiler trapped in between two cast iron grids with flames on either side.
Mm-hmm.
The grease strips down. That burger is served on a bun, let's call it, it's served on two slices of Pepperidge Farm toast with onions.
Okay.
Is it a burger?
The cooking way, I don't think has any bearing. So
right.
I don't know if you were throwing that in there for, because it's, yeah, cooking is cooking.
It's a red herring, but sure.
Technically, you could put a pattied ground beef item in a microwave and still technically call it a burger.
Brilliant, so Holmes. However do you do it? You've avoided the obvious trap.
The question is putting it on Pepperidge Farm toast, is it? Because initially I'm wanting to say no. But the more I've had non-traditional burgers,
uh-huh,
I think we need to allow for having something different.
Yes.
Because when I tried yours on that night,
uh-huh,
at Royale, it gave it like a spongy kind of interesting,
yeah,
that was like,
yeah,
oh, that's it, like, I thought about it. It made me think about it.
Yeah.
And that's where I think is, you know, everybody's got a burger.
Okay. So here's the reveal.
So anyway, so to answer your question,
okay, yeah,
I would say over the years, like if you asked me 5 years ago, I would have said a hard no, it's not a burger. But now I would say, yes, that is a burger.
It is a burger, because the trick part of that question is that is the burger served at Lewis's Lunch in New Haven, Connecticut.
The first one.
The very first, according to them and the Library of Congress, the very first hamburger sandwich.
Right.
Lewis's Lunch was founded in 1895. They are credited with the first hamburger sandwich on a menu, anyway, in 1900. Now, there are some that argue that in the Chicago exhibition, the World's Fair of 1893, that there are people serving hamburger sandwiches. But Lewis's Lunch in New Haven serves this same burger and has since 1900 as a hamburger sandwich. It is a custom blend of chuck, brisket, and short rib that they have been grinding to that formula since 1895. Up until then, it was a hamburger steak, which was kind of the big deal in the late 1890s.
It, right,
was a hamburger steak. If you ordered a hamburger, what you got was basically a Salisbury steak, a, mm-hmm, hamburger steak with onions on top. And just like the Earl of Sandwich story, you know, somebody came in a rush and said, you know, Lewis, I got a burger. I got to have a burger, but I got to have it to go. I'm in a hurry. So we put it between the two slices of toast that would ordinarily come with it as a side. And thus the hamburger sandwich was born. But that's the burger you're served. It is a basically a freshly ground hamburger steak on two slices of Pepperidge Farm toast with onions, no ketchup allowed on the premises, and only Cheese Whiz since the 1950s.
Interesting. But the thing is you can't, you really wouldn't be able to have it any other way.
Yeah.
Because if you, it's not like you could put a thing of cheese on it because
right.
it's cooked vertically.
Yeah.
You know, unless you have that odd, you know, you've seen those things in the grocery store where you can make grilled cheese sandwiches in your toaster.
Oh, yeah.
Which
is
basically just a fire just waiting to happen.
Yeah, there's asbestos bags.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a couple, frankly. Yeah,
so the point is that you'd have to, what are you going to do? You're going to spoon it on or something like that to have it on there.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because the Royale, both burgers, yours was non-traditional, served on a hash brown. Mine was non-traditional, served on an English muffin. Both were excellent. And like you, up until a couple of years ago, I probably would have said, open-faced hamburger steak on a bread product is wonderful, might not be a burger. But when you think that the people who are credited with inventing the hamburger sandwich in 1900 make it that way on two pieces of toast.
Well, and even the name, it's hamburger was the thing.
Right.
A hamburger sandwich is when you have it on,
yeah, that
on
was,
bread.
Yeah, that was the innovative, yeah.
Because I think about the, you know, when you go to a place like even this week or Monday, I was in Wilson,
okay.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
And they have a place there called Burger Boy.
Burger Boy.
It's
all
an
right,
old
sure.
school. It was probably built in the 50s, and I don't think it's been updated much since then. And, you know, you get this Merita style bun that's mashed down that I'm like, is this really any, you know, other than it's not fancy, is this bun any different than an English muffin?
Yeah.
That, you know, this has just happened by accident because it was mashed in the bag for God knows how long. So it's just kind of saying, of course, the thing with mine is there was no bread product at all.
Yeah.
So it's not even like an open faced sandwich.
It was,
it's just a patty with, on potatoes, basically, that you had to eat with a knife and fork. You know, not even just, no matter how disgusting I've ever been eating wise, this is this is physically impossible to eat without a knife and fork.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, I will say mine was more traditional in that I could, in fact, pick it up. And I don't know if that English muffin was made in-house or if it's a specialty food service product. I'd suspect it was probably made in house.
Mm-hmm.
It was darn good.
Yes. This was not Thomas's. This is nooks and crannies to be found.
Yeah, this was a really, really nice English muffin, toasted on the inside, still a little squishy on the outside, kind of like the way you'd toast a bagel if you've got the bagel setting on your toaster oven or your toaster. And it was truly excellent. I was wowed by that burger. And frankly, the English muffin not only didn't detract or was neutral, it actually contributed. It was really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the English muffin. You had a bite of it, I think.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
And how many reviews have we done that, like I said, the bun doesn't do anything?
Yeah.
The bun only, you know, you get this massive dry Kaiser,
right?
You know,
get the Kaiser
whatever.
Roll, or you get the appropriately squishy potato roll, which is great for like a single, let's say, 4 ounce patty or a two ounce patties,
right.
But doesn't hold up to like a 6 ounce or a pub style, you know, 8 ounce burger, which actually does require something like a Kaiser roll to soak up the juices. But you know, you kind of hope for the best with the bun, that it holds together while you eat the burger and doesn't ruin the experience. In this case, the English muffin was a part of it. It was good.
Well, given how little was on your burger.
Yeah.
I mean, Gruyere is not the most flavorful cheese in the world. An optional aioli to throw on there.
Well, it was an au poivre, so it was a peppercorn aioli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was subtle. It was not overwhelming. I know... I when I make steak au poivre, I'm occasionally chided because I'm really heavy-handed with the pepper. I mean, you're picking it out of your teeth for days afterwards. So this, you know, to my taste, this was a very subtle au poivre aioli. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's, but it's really like nothing that I've had before. And I don't know, I almost kind of don't know if a regular burger place could pull that off.
Probably not. Not if you're doing them like at volume. In this case, being a, let's just call it somewhat fine dining or higher end restaurant. I mean, you didn't have to wear a tie or anything, but it was pricey enough that you're probably not going to take the, you know, the T-ball team after, right, after the big tournament.
Mm-hmm. Or really someplace we're probably not even going to take your kids.
Right.
Unless they have an exceptionally refined palate.
Oh, and I am going to go off on a very slight tangent here. My son, Jack, when we would take him out to restaurants, he would inevitably order the thing he had never heard of before. So we would go to places and we're like, we'd show him the kids' menu and, you know, it's like spaghetti and a hot dog. And he's looking over going, Osso Buco. I've never heard of that. Can I get that? Yeah.
Well, so that's also for my son, who is almost nine and has not turned down any style of sushi that's available.
Oh, that's great.
Sashimi, anything. He just sucks it down. He has no problem with it.
Okay.
Yeah, so now we don't even my teenage daughter is the one who orders off the kids' menu.
But with that said, I mean, in adventurous eaters and wonderful kids aside, you're right. You probably could not pull that burger off in a place that turns out 100 of them a night. It has to be in a specialty kitchen where they're making them by hand, probably 5 or 6 a night at best.
Because you can't, there's no hiding it.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a poor patty, it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, you have nothing else unless, you know, because usually what we do is I'll just grab a piece of the patty as soon as I get it, pop it in my mouth to kind of get an idea of what it's like before I even take a big bite.
Yeah, kind of.
Whereas this,
the baseline flavor.
The first cut was basically just patty because it was larger than, you know, the patty was round and the potato patty underneath it was a rectangle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, it just didn't match up. So I had a ton of patty in my first bite.
Yeah. So. And I did, I went back to my notes and they were a little sketchy on that part. So I looked up Greg Cox's review of Royale, and he mentions the burger, and he specifically asked, and it is, in fact, a house blend of chuck, brisket, and short rib, which they grind.
Which is what they said.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, my notes were sketchy, and I did have a beer. it was a really flavorful patty. It was a well-executed... This was a chef burger.
Mm-hmm. It's probably or the one of those things that I bet the staff eats after they're all done for the evening.
Yeah.
You know, or if they want something quick to throw down on it. Because I think I don't think mine even would have worked if it was on a bun.
On a bun?
Given it was smothered in béarnaise sauce.
Uh-huh.
The egg was not fried, it was sunny side up.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you're just oozing everywhere.
If you touched that with a bun,
it would have just exploded all over the place.
It would have turned into a super soaker.
And so that's the thing. I would have been a mess.
Yeah.
And that's not something that probably someone who eats at that kind of restaurant a lot is going to want to, you know, have to ask for more napkins.
Right.
Because they're, you know, it's
yeah. And with a little lobster bib.
Yeah, exactly.
And the little hand towels and the foil packet.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's kind of one of those things that, yes, it is a burger, but I don't know, short of you're just doing it for, you know, keto diet sake and you're not having any carbs.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd have to say it's a burger.
Yeah, it is. It was, it falls outside the, you know, the center of the bell curve of burgerdom.
Yes.
you know, kind of toward the skinny end.
White Castle at one end, which is, you know, the skinny beef with this fluffy, you know, slider bun around it. And at the opposite end, you have the high end, no bun necessary.
Yeah.
You have to eat it with a knife and fork.
Yeah.
Pinky out, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it is definitely on the skinny end of the bell curve, but yeah, it is absolutely a burger. And it was a damn fine burger.
Indeed it was. Yeah. And that would have been interesting. Did that color, like what if it was terrible? Like
yeah.
what if the burger was a hockey puck?
Yeah.
And it had, you know, chewy, not cooked all the way prosciutto on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens if it was bad? Would we say, oh, no, well, you can't have a burger. It didn't have a bun. Would have potentially just saved this, you know, kind of burger.
And I know when we do reviews, we try not to let things like price come into consideration. I mean, we kind of work on a platonic baseline burger scale where does this compare to what an ideal burger should be, but price does kind of even subconsciously figure into it. Like when we went to Heron's, for example, I'll bring that up again as kind of the fancy burger that we had a couple of years ago. It was pretty good, but it was also a pricey burger.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It wasn't $17 pretty good.
No, it was not.
It was $12 pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been happy with that in, you know, like an alehouse type environment, mm-hmm. or even a brew pub or gastro pub sort of environment, but in basically the bar menu of a fine dining restaurant? No, I was disappointed.
Yeah.
In this case, yeah, I mean, the price scale doesn't affect my judgment because I think I'm appreciating the burger in spite of kind of the price level of the restaurant,
right,
as opposed to judging it against what I expect to get for X number of dollars.
Yeah, it would be interesting. Yeah, it's a hard what if.
Yeah.
Because it was excellent.
Yeah.
So we have nothing to compare it to.
You know,
how much would you say, like, you know, because this is Raleigh.
Yeah.
How much do you think that burger would be in New York City?
Oh, God, that's a $25 burger easily.
Oh, easy. I was saying it was going to be like $32 or $35.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely worth it. I know I brought this up when we were there. The only quibble, and it's the same quibble I had with Battistella's when it was in that space, wasn't with the food, it's with the space. There are so many hard surfaces. It gets very loud, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to have a reasonable conversation without shouting or saying what a lot.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, if there were any, like I said, quibble, it would be with the space. The service was excellent. The food was excellent.
The waiter was very knowledgeable.
Yeah, he was. He was mm-hmm. extremely knowledgeable. It was overall, I mean, as an experience, I'd give it a 5. The burger, I want to give it a 5.
But I don't think as good as it was, it wasn't the best burger I ever had.
No.
I'm probably leaning more towards giving it about a 4.75.
That is exactly where
mainly
I was going
with
that. Yeah.
It's so much. It was probably one of the richest things I have eaten at, you know, maybe half as much Bernays sauce.
Yeah.
You know, just something a little less. Honestly, I didn't even care if the hash brown was there. The hash brown could have just, all it did was add bulk.
Yeah.
Like, so they could, probably what I would have done is eliminate the hash brown. I think the hash brown was there as to kind of say, okay, we're serving it on something brown that's bun-like.
Right.
Okay. I would have thrown a little arugula on top.
Yeah.
Something that had a little peppery taste, but
okay,
but
so to kind of cut the richness
a
little
lightness
bit.
To it.
Yeah,
that,
okay,
that I think
yeah.
would have been, because it was basically just two kinds of meat with egg on it and a butter sauce.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, which is what it was.
Okay.
So let's see how many animals we could injure or kill during the creation of this burger.
I have to say, though, if your complaint is it was too good and too rich, we've got really easy problems.
That's definitely a first world problem right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's like nothing to detract, but I think that's the one thing. It needed a little bit of a vegetable on it. Now, it was served with a with an arugula style salad on the side.
Right.
Had arugula and peas.
Yeah,
and
I was about like to say, didn't it have some pea sheets? Yeah, that exactly. Were really pretty good? Yeah.
No, it actually had peas.
Peas.
Like
right.
loose peas. Okay, in it. Yeah. So it's almost like I should have put some of that arugula on it, but it had a dressing on it already and I didn't want to. Yeah.
But
I think if
right.
they just, put some arugula on it and you cut it and you had a little bit of that bite, a little freshness in each one,
something
I think it would have been perfect.
Something to kind of cut the richness a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine, was a high wire act. I mean, it is kind of like one of the things that chefs do when they go into a restaurant. If they want to see how good it is, they will order a roast chicken, which is the simplest
thing on the menu.
Thing on the menu and one of the hardest things to pull off really well because there is nowhere to hide.
Well,
and
I think that's also why we order everything medium.
Yeah.
I mean, usually because medium's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's, if you can do medium, you can do medium rare.
Right.
Whereas if you get medium rare and they undercook it, it's inedible.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do medium and they undercook it, they kind of undercooked it, but it's still edible.
Yeah. 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 And then once you get to medium well territory, you're
McDonald's Hardy's, territory.
Yeah, Hardy's drive through. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did do a spectacular job with it. I was really pleased with mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am in 4.75 territory. I enjoyed it immensely, but it does not quite reach that. This is the best thing I have ever put in my mouth.
Like, you're not going to, it's not Al's territory where, but I bet if I go back there again at some point on a Tuesday night, I'm going to get that. I'm going to get the plat du jour for that night and it will be different. And I'm sure I'll be astounded by it.
Although I will say, you did try a bite.
I did try a bite.
But I would absolutely get the Royale again. It is a standard menu item among many things like, oysters on the half shell.
Right.
And they've got your basic French bistro fine dining.
But I wasn't joking. They did have a tater tot dish that had caviar on it. That's a real thing. That was an appetizer that was on there.
I think they kind
of have a nod to the American menu in a French style. So yes, they do have some fancy stuff, but they kind of fancify basic stuff as well. So it'd be interesting. Given how rich mine was, all it needed was caviar on it, and it would have been...
And the gold... Don't forget the gold leaf. You got to have the gold leaf and the foie gras.
But see, that's a stunt. The gold leaf is a stunt, whereas every ingredient on my burger was there with a purpose.
Yeah.
Like I said, it needed one more, I think, which is odd. Usually there's way too much.
Yeah.
But it needed some kind of leafy...
And as you said, they did do that on the side salad, which did have a little bit of that bitterness, a little bit of that bite to kind of cut the richness a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have, or they could have sprinkled a little bit on top or, yeah.
Yeah, but that would be the only way I would improve it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so there we have it. Royale, your final thoughts?
I think we kind of need to have, so we say basically that a burger does not require a bun.
Let it
be known. The bun is not required.
Yeah, we're hitting that Martin Luther kind of schism point here. I think we're going to part company with a lot of traditionalists now that we have been doing this for, God, how many years now?
It'll be 10 years in 10 October.
10 years. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, yeah. 10 years. That, our thinking about burgers has evolved.
But I can tell you, it will never include the loose meat sandwich.
There is no finer two words in this world than loose meat, my friend.
When I read that book that you gave me, and I'm like, why is this even in here? It's manwich. It's a sloppy Joe. It's not a hamburger.
Yeah.
Just because you're using ground beef. I mean, come on. You're not even forming it into a patty.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's getting off the rails. I'll be long cold in the grave before you call a loose meat sandwich a burger.
But yes, I think our thinking about burgers has evolved. And I'm glad that it has, because instead of just kind of turning up our noses and going, it's not on a bun. And, kind of rejecting it out of hand because the form isn't correct, we were able to enjoy a really, really great burger.
Indeed. And I think if you told me 10 years ago that I was going to spend $20 on a hamburger, I would have said you were crazy. So I think we have basically, it is now burgiatric law.
Yeah.
If it is a patty and it is with toppings.
Yeah.
And that's not a brown sauce, I would guess. It's a hamburger.
Okay, you realize we're going to have to arm wrestle Don over this.
He's a he hates everything. Yeah. So, yeah.
The patty melt is not a burger. Don, you will need to evolve your thinking.
That's right. You're you know, over you in Europe, you're, you know, you've so, you know, you have an open mind to things. Yeah. You know, free
either
your mind.
That or you will be assimilated.
That's right. All right. Well, good to talk to you all again. Check out our actual full review online, and we'll hope to get at least a couple more of these out at some point.
Yeah.